Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, March the 27th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time. But wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we're happy because we have a special guest joining us today that Linda has wrangled up for us. And she knows her whole lot better than I do. So Linda, why don't you do the honors and introduce Rita to the world?
Sure. So I'm actually going to read Rita's bio. Okay, rushed energy. God.
Slow down.
Because Rita, I didn't even know some of this stuff in here. So I'm going to have fun reading this for everybody. So over the past 15 years, Rita has dedicated herself wholeheartedly to body work and spiritual healing. Although her journey as a healer began as in her youth, Rita first studied massage therapy at the Swedish Institute and graduated in 1995. Her interest grew while practicing massage therapy and drove to learn more about the composition of the human body. She and I think in your book, you talk about how you can see into, you can see sickness in the body or see into the body, right? Okay, we'll get Rita in a second. Let me just finish going. So she earned her bachelor's degree from William Patterson. I went there for a little while. In science and in with a concentration in exercise physiology in 2001. 2003, Rita shared her knowledge of anatomy and physiology, Swedish and medical massage, and applied energies with the students of the Institute of Therapeutic Massage, where she's been teaching ever since. She loves the connection she forms with her students while relating her experiences in spiritual guidance, which has moved her to lecture over the past 12 years on topics such as, and we're going to want to talk about these things today, crossing over, chakra energy, energy and aura, chakras, angels, and dream interpretation. And then in 2005, Rita co-owned and operated a healing center called Nature's Remedy in Wayne, New Jersey. Rita practiced various massage techniques such as the Swedish deep tissue myofascial release and integrative, which included energy balancing. She also gave seminars on various topics on the chakras, the secret, and crossing over. And above all, Rita is an intuitive healer that specializes in spiritual counseling and holistic health. She also is a gifted intuitive and angel, intuitive, she has angel readings and sound therapy. And she's an avid learner, has certifications in all kinds of Reiki, infant massage, sound therapy, tuning forks. Cool. Rita's also studied various healing modalities such as mediumship with Eamon Downey. I did a few courses with him. Crazy. It's totally out of my league, but I was there. I was doing it at the Arthur Findlay College in England. So overall, Rita has dedicated herself to using her intuition and her knowledge she has acquired in her life to connect and help others achieve health, balance, closure, and peace, as well as helping them discover their soul's unlimited potential. Right up our alley over here. In 2003, Rita had the opportunity to experience the healing essence of John of God. I didn't know that. From Brazil at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And she was amazed at the power of group healing and was inspired to form a group of her own called the Collective Healing Network. Today, Rita works in her new office in Tappan, New York, along with her wife, Bobby, who's a nurse. She specializes in massage, preventative energetic therapy, intuitive healing, spiritual counseling, intuitive and angel readings. All right. Lots to talk about today.
I got a long list here. There's like 9 items on this list. You know we have more than an hour. I mean,
I was going to tell you, Walt, think of some questions. I'm like, we don't have to think of any questions. They're just going to come up.
Oh my goodness.
Rita, hello. Welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. Yeah, it's a long list there. Where would you guys like to begin?
So I think I'll get my dart and I'll point at the dartboard and see which one I hit. For myself, well, I mean, I think the general topic that's on everybody's mind is the pandemic, and you have a number of healing modality type things going on there. So I think I'd like to hear about some of that. For instance, you have the Collective Healing Network. I'm curious to know, what role you guys have been trying to play in helping with the pandemic and so forth.
Yeah, the Collective Healing Network is, when we were doing it as a group, we were getting together doing it, and we were able to. I had so many healers with me, and people that come from very different backgrounds, but nevertheless, they were healers, and we would get together as a group and work three on one. So there would be healers working with one person, and it what it did was created such a healing energy, exponential. I want to say healing energy when three people are working, instead of one on one. That people were healing. Sometimes they were healing on the spot. Sometimes they were healing, you know, things that a week later or a month later, depending on how deep the wounds were. And I mean, not just physical, but emotional wounds, mm-hmm. mental or spiritual. So that was now at this point, because of the pandemic, you know, I just gathered my posse and, remotely, and we work together in prayer, in, you know, meditation, and whatever we can do to lift the fear and the anxiety around what's happening. Because yes, it's a very, very huge concern, and we're all very concerned. But if everybody went into panic, you know, this could be 100 times worse.
No doubt.
So, yeah. So I think utilizing breath work, meditation, even listening to calming music, or music that lifts your spirits, whatever that is, those are the things that you need to do now. Well, and a balance in the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're talking about resonates on a number of different levels, partly because the last couple of days I've been listening to very calming music while I've been working at my desk, so I mean that's like perfect. And I also, when I hear what you're talking about, how you and your group have been working remotely on doing this, it just reinforces for me a trend that I have been seeing that I'm pretty proud of. I'm really glad to be a part of this larger community. I call it the group of conscious creators. It's, you know, law of attraction types and people who do energy work. And there's like this whole group, right? And when you see what people in this group are posting on social media, it's all positive. It's all supportive. It's all really, really high energy stuff. And then you see what everybody else is posting. It's all low energy. It's depressed. It's, you know, the contrast is fabulous, you know? And I'm just very proud to be a part of that group. So thank you for your contribution to it too. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need to thank each other for anything that can uplift us at this point in this time, you know? It's unprecedented this time, and it's a bit on the scary side, but we have to, again, we have to remain as calm as we can and adapt to what's happening in the moment. We know it's not going to be forever, but there has to be that, you know, adaptation so that we can move through it smoother. And
I did one of my energy updates for my YouTube channel, just posted it today. And what I was feeling a lot of is, and I want to see if Rita, if you're tapping into this, that this is such like jolt to consciousness. Like I feel like this whole thing, part of maybe something good that comes from it is that it's awakening other people. They may not even realize that this is happening for them, but it's kind of making you have to look to yourself. To what it is that you would really love to be doing. Cause with so many of us, especially the people who haven't really woken up spiritually, just in that rat race, just going without taking the time to see what truly is my soul's purpose. You know, not that you have to switch your job and all that kind of stuff, although a lot of that's happening over the past couple of years. I feel like this kind of might just be, and especially there's so many now, you know, it's spreading. Consciousness is spreading. It's always ever expanding, right? More and more people talking about this. That's why Walt is seeing more and more of the positive posts, right? Not all of them.
Not all.
I feel like it's just like it's a wake up call to like, listen, there's a bigger picture here and it's time to tune in.
Absolutely. There's always, when something like this happens, there's always, you know, an opportunity to grow. I think if you can get out of the fear long enough, you can see that. And I know it's very difficult. I mean, you have loved ones that you care about. You have, you know, even like your grandmothers or your grandfathers who are even older and are, you know, may be susceptible more to things. Nobody's out of, we'll say, is out of the woods, but this is definitely what I would say, an opportunity to grow in many different ways, not just, you know, emotionally, but spiritually, and connecting to whatever makes you feel good. Call it God, call it love, call it source energy, you know, call it collective consciousness. It really doesn't matter because it's all the same thing anyway. It's really what makes you comfortable. But connect to that energy and bring it closer to you so that you can feel that cohesive balance that you're looking for. Whenever anybody's in a panic or they're feeling stressed beyond belief, where do they, you know, they look up or they look to something beyond them, because they know that there is something beyond them that could, you know, potentially help them in this moment.
Right. And if they don't know it, they're starting to wonder more or open to the possibility. Right. And I love how you brought up the fear, because, of course, that's what's coming up. Right. So possibly this is a massive clearing to help people to move away from fear and step into love, because, you know, they're polar opposites. Right.
Right. The idea is to get it to stick. Like when we had 9/11 happen, right? We had so much good came out of that, even though it was devastating.
Sure.
But everybody kind of went back to their lives and things didn't, you know, so some stuff stuck and then everything else kind of just fell to the wayside and we all went back to our lives again. But to make the conscious effort every day to be, because right now there are a lot of people who are struggling with being.
Right.
Because they're doing. They don't know what they are, who they are without doing something. So we just have to be right now. And what could you do being here right now to help somebody else? And that could be what we're doing. That could be just getting on Facebook and, you know, shouting out and saying, hey, sending everybody love and a big hug. I mean, simple things can create such beautiful outcomes. And what people don't realize is that that extends to the rest of the world. Yep. Any energy, good energy, even bad energy, any type of energy will extend to the rest of the world when you put it out there. So more good we put, the more it extends to the rest of the world, the higher the vibration of, you know, the earth, the people, all of it. And then we won't be in this position again. Mother Earth can thrive. We can thrive. We're living in harmony then with Mother Earth and spirit at that point.
That's
yeah.
A pretty
so,
cool thing.
So, you know, it would be kind of fun. I'd like to hear, cause I talk about these things all the time, but it's nice to get another voice, right? Who says mm-hmm. it their own way. So you mentioned, you send this positive energy or love out. I mean, it doesn't only just go this far. It goes
That's
everywhere. Because
everywhere.
Everything is connected. Everything is energy. Everything is interacting, even if you don't think it is.
Right. Everything, including, you know, the table that you eat on has energy, right? The only reason why it's not moving or it's not etheric is because it's at a lower vibration or frequency. When you resonate at a higher vibration, things move, things speak, things, you know, the trees will bloom, they'll sway back and forth. It's all energy, though. You could talk to the tree and it would understand exactly what you were saying to it. You could talk to you, proving it.
Oh, we lost your video, Rita.
Yeah, you know, you blessed your water and your food every day. That's energy. That food knows it, goes into your body. It feeds your body. The water feeds your body. It's, if everybody could get that, we'd be in a much better place.
Right. I want to add to that, Rita, and I'd like you to take it from there. Because a lot of times people think, yeah, we have consciousness, but they don't realize our bodies have their own consciousness too.
That's right.
So if we could be in communication with that consciousness and actually have gratitude for it as a consciousness, what kind of changes could that create?
So anybody can heal themselves, right? See, I'm a healer, right? But what do, really? I'm just the conduit, right? That person, if they have the willingness, the energy, and the faith, they heal themselves. I just kind of work it through with them. you know, yeah. But not everybody thinks that. They give their power away to others thinking, oh, I don't know enough, or I can't do it, or I have to go through some kind of great training to be in that position. And you don't. I'm here to tell you, because I've been through millions of trainings and done, you know, and been to college and been here and been everywhere. But I have to tell you, the most I've learned is through myself and how creating my own life so that I can help others create. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not about learning from a school. It really isn't.
That's absolutely. I have people come to me.
I'm going to interrupt for a second, Linda, because we have a couple of questions coming in.
So I'm going to write a note.
Yep. We'll get back to you. I promise. But a couple of people asking questions. Jeffrey actually has two questions that you can probably address together. He says, how do you integrate the balance of science and spirit in your practice? And how do people respond to your title of intuitive healer?
Ha! Linda, you want to start with that?
You know what? Can you read it again? Because I was writing my last thought that I don't want to forget.
Sure. Jeffrey was asking Rita, actually, but one of you can answer it. He says, how do you integrate the balance of science and spirit in your practice? And how do people respond to your title of an intuitive healer?
Well, I love the science behind the intuitive energy, and there's so much of it out there today. I have a list of books and names that I can give the audience that they can go and see how science correlates to all of this. But I'm a firm believer in faith as well. Mm-hmm. So because everything is energy. Energy is science. Like, I just feel like it's all one. There's nothing that is, if you want something proven, well, they've done it. You know, they've done the studies. They've been able to create that for people who are not real, you know, like they look at it and they go, yeah, but, you know. So for me, I've read the science behind it. I've experienced my own energy create with other energies outside of this universe. So I can tell you that from my own perspective and from my own belief system, that it's real. I can't make people believe what's real to them, because it may not be real to them. It just may not be. So I can't force them to believe that, but I've had enough experience, science related and spiritually related, to say it's there. There's nothing, I can't deny it. And I can only hope that people will see it, you know, feel it, know it for themselves.
You know what I would add to that? I'm writing notes all over the place here. Because I don't want to forget. But okay, so for me, I just speak my truth. I don't give a shit if someone thinks I'm out of my mind. Because even by just speaking my truth, if it feels so even out there for them, it's that we talk about this. We planted a seed or we cracked the egg. You can't uncrack that egg, right? Some information went in that their soul and higher knowing, who knows the truth of all of this, can start to lead them towards finding whatever it is they need to help them feel supported in that this could be a truth, right? So I kind of leave it a little bit. I guess, I don't know, maybe we look at it this way. Leave it to spirit. Spirit will handle it. I don't feel anymore. It's like, Walt knows I talk about this. I never retain the data. Like, I have to go to my library, my husband or my son. Can you tell me what was said there? Because my brain doesn't hold it, but I know it, right? I just know it on a feeling sense. So people can if they need to find signs, there's plenty out there, like she said. Okay. So an experience speaks, right? So when you start, if somebody hears some crazy things that, and I'm going to ask Rita about something real quick, and it's going to be crazy. If it blows their mind, it still leaves some kind of impression. There's an energy that comes behind it, where if there's aspects of them that wants to know more, they'll find out more somehow, some way. It'll just keep showing up. It'll just keep showing up. Right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just mention one of the names that people can look up, and that's Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you look his stuff up, you will see science behind it. So I urge people to go and do that, because I think they'll get a lot out of it. I really do.
Greg Braden, David Wilcock, all kinds of people speaking to all of these. But I want to ask Rita, because boy, my little antennas went up. Experiences with energies outside this universe.
Oh, like angels, like, okay. Like Jesus, like Mary, like Buddha, like, you know, consciousness that is not necessarily here on Earth, but outside of right. what people would normally, because, I mean, listen, I know people that if they don't see it, feel it, and they need their five senses to say this is real. I can tell you that I don't need the five senses to know that right. because I experience them. And what people don't understand either is that they experience this stuff in their sleep all the time. They're astral traveling all the time. They're working with the higher beings. They just maybe not, they don't remember it or they don't experience it. And in a way that it's, you know, physical to them, but we do it nightly, yeah. Yeah. You know? So yes, I've had,
no wonder I sleep so long.
I've had visions of Mary and Jesus. I've had a huge experience with the laying on of the hands. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. They explain it that the spirit comes through your body. I can't, that was like beyond even words. It's probably the most peace, I'd call it nirvana, that you would ever feel in your life, or that I felt when I experienced it. So I think you have to be open to stuff. I think you have to not be afraid of things, because if it feels good to you, then it's good. If it doesn't feel good, then it doesn't feel good, you know, right. And then you don't have to experience it.
Right.
But to say, I think for some people, they're just afraid of it because they don't know enough about it. And yeah. They're always trying to prove something. Well, there is proof. There is definitely proof. So go and look up those scientists, because that may help people experience it in a different way and open them up so that they can experience it even in other ways.
Yeah, I like to simplify it as if the truth will always make you feel lighter because it's of light, and anything else will make you feel heavier. So even right. the little bit of excitement or the curiosity, that's a lighter feeling.
Sure.
So that does actually guide them to find out more.
Right. Right.
Until the negative programming comes in, you know, my mother said, that's impossible.
But that's, I feel, and that's why I love the science piece of it, because they have proven with those negative programs that we have implanted, you know, from the minute we're in the womb till, you know, 7 years old, we have these programs running. And then, you know, we make our decisions based on those programs that are running in the subconscious mind. And we're not aware of it, you know, until we become aware. And, you know, it's funny. Once you become aware, you can't become unaware anymore.
Right.
Like once that's true.
Make an excuse like, oh, I didn't know, you know, that's it. Then you're aware. But I tell you that is huge when people can get to those subconscious blocks. Their life changes immensely at that point. Yeah. They really feel more in control of, and I don't mean it, you know, control in a way that you have control over someone, but with their own lives, they feel that, you know, everything's good. You know, you got a hold of everything because you're not running the old programs anymore. Those fearful programs.
Yeah. And that's why you feel lighter when you leave an energy healing session, because you let in more light and you let go of some of that stuff, which weighs on us. We don't realize, realize how heavy it is until you let go of some of it. And you're like, ooh, I feel like I lost 20 pounds.
That's right.
And you know, I'm since this morning.
Yeah, right. I count on my hands how many times that has happened to me where you release something and you feel much lighter after that. You know, and I tell people all the time, because they say, well, could we do it all in one lifetime? Probably not. We're probably not everything in one lifetime. We're just going to do the best we can because we're all learners and teachers. Like, we're all students and teachers at some point on this earth. And we're just doing the best we can. But did we answer that question?
Oh, I think you did. Yeah. Jeffrey actually was giving us a good reaction on it, saying he appreciated and heard what you were saying. It was resonating with him. He related to it. So that was good.
Okay.
We also had another question from Josephine. Josephine was asking, that she pointed out that Linda has been talking a lot about David Wilcock lately and was wondering if you knew about him and if you had any perspectives about him.
David, name is familiar, but I don't know.
Yeah, David Wilcock, he does a lot of work with Corey Good. He's exposed. He's been in with people who have had experience with the space program, you know, aliens, ETs, but even more than that, he's like a historian. So he documents throughout the ages how a lot of these patterns have repeated. And you do astrology too, I think, right, Rita? So like you can see how some things come about. I mean, even the astrologists, I think we're talking about a pandemic in this time and space. I think I've listened to some. So he does he's written so many different books. But what I love about him, you want to talk about giving evidence or science, and you know, he puts printed articles. You can see the pictures of them from wherever, New York Post 50 years ago, and what they were saying. Because like he talks about disclosure, right? So a lot of information is actually put out there, but it's like just spit out there because the media won't talk about any of this stuff.
Right, right.
So he's one of those guys that taps into a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. Listen, if you wanted to know if I believe in that stuff, absolutely. I think there's other life forms in different universes, in different, you know, galaxies and all. And I feel like some of them are, you know, farther along than we are in the learning curve, and then some maybe not as far. So, you know, I think though, if you know how to connect to the light, because I'll just leave it at the light because I don't want anybody to be offended or anything, but if you can connect to the light, then no matter what comes to you will be of light. You see?
Well, but I always like what Carl Sagan had to say about it. He said that with all that space out there, it would be a waste of space if there was nobody else out there. So there has to be somebody else.
Of course. Of course. And I guarantee you some of them, I'll put money on it, there are some of them helping us mm-hmm. at this
point. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's without a doubt. So we have to be grateful for that. I thank those beings that I can't necessarily see, but I know they're there and I know they're helping us.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging stuff.
You know what? Maybe I can bring up, because I did mention it when you came to my house, Rita, and you tapped into that there was a portal here and didn't even know anything about it, that I knew about it already. And I like how you were tapping into the feeling you sensed all these little earth spirits, right?
Yeah.
Around the space. She even sensed the Mother Mary energy. So that's like, you know, some people would think that's pretty out there, but this portal energy, I've been kind of working with and trying to find my way with it.
Right.
That's not of this world.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I love the movie. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but, Kate and Leopold,
mm-hmm.
Right. Kate and Leopold. And you know, he goes into the portal. He follows the guy into the portal and he comes into our time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Follows him back into that time, and I think it's the Brooklyn Bridge that's the portal.
I think so. Yeah. Right.
Right. They go right into the water. Has to be a certain time and all that. But what people don't realize is it was a great movie, but there's truth in that. There are portals mm-hmm. that you can go from one existence to another. Not to say you want to, but I'm just saying it does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And people. You know, you don't have to believe it, but it's there are things out there that may seem like they're out there, but they're really not. They're more than you know, and probably closer to you than you even know, because we're all of the light. And you know, when you go back to the light, you understand things very clearly, because you don't have your ego attached to you. It's only your soul creating at that point. So you understand it much better. When you come here, you get amnesia. So we have a little bit of a, you know, hump to get over, because, you know, we don't remember everything. But I guarantee you, if you read and you keep reading and you keep learning, there is going to be certain things that resonate with you that you don't even know why they resonate with you, but it's because somewhere in the universe it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And somewhere you've experienced it and you know it from another time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so what you were just saying is what David Wilcock does. he puts out like information he gets from the insiders from that work with all this ETs is yeah. that like movies like Star Wars, so many movies, Star Wars and a whole bunch of others have the information that is real and true information sprinkled out there. Right. And they sprinkle it out there so that when there is some sort of a huge disclosure, which I understand is coming pretty soon, we won't be freaking out because we'll have already been kind of hinted at things like that.
Let me tell you, spirit is so, so protective of us. You know how we have an internal mechanism that protects us? Okay. Well, spirit has this thing that protects us as a collective consciousness. There's only so much information they will let in at a time so that people don't freak out, right?
Right.
And only so much we could digest so that, you know, when the time comes for disclosure, we go, oh, okay. And we're not like running for the hills at that point, right? Mm-hmm. That's spirit saying, you know, they can only handle so much. We have to protect the energy. People don't realize those energies that you can't see are protecting us second by second, minute by minute, daily, so that there's only so much that we can take in. And then they'll say, okay, now you're ready for the next piece. Now you're ready for the next piece. So you have sightings all over the world of Mother Mary and messages that she brought, right? It's not mainstream. We're not going on CBS and NBC and all that seeing that. But have there been sightings? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Have there been messages? 150%. So it comes as it's supposed to come. Everything has its timing. And and this
I want it to happen a little faster.
Well, yes, people who are like us doing this work already and have been doing this work and our energies are a bit more fine-tuned to that. Yes, we're looking like, let's go. This is the eighth square, and we need the peace for the next 2,000 years kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm reminded of the message that Abraham Hicks put out over this whole pandemic thing. And in their message, they said, don't worry, everything's working out great. In fact, what you're doing, what you're going through right now is setting you up for something truly amazing to come immediately afterward. And I just wondered, does that make sense to you too?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, definitely. Because whenever you have this kind of lesson or this kind of learning curve that we're going through, we get in the end, we get that big wow, you know, the wow factor. And that it's definitely there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit, if it's okay. We'll see what Rita thinks about it. But I wanted to ask you, Rita, if you think that your upbringing played a huge role in your opening to all these gifts that you have. And when did it start becoming real for you? Like, when did you say, well, okay, this is actually real?
Yeah. So I'd have to say my childhood was perfect in setting me up to be who I am today, because it was really the exact opposite. You know, call yourself the black sheep of the family. That was me. I was like, I don't know if I belong here, you know? So it perfectly set me up for this. And I know people may not understand this, but you know, we all choose things before we get here. We write out a contract, you know, and you pick your parents and your siblings and the people in your life that aggravate you the most, because they teach you the biggest lessons. And so I picked, you know, I sometimes I wonder.
A lot of us have wondered.
How
I think
many did I get on and pick all this shit that I picked, but it so perfectly got me where I needed to be to help as many people as I can and continue to, because that's, I think, what I love the most about my work. How can I help somebody else along the path?
But my favorite way of expressing it is what was I thinking? What was I thinking at that time?
Yeah. I don't even know if I can curse, but you know what I would say. I think, yes, I think everybody picks perfectly for what they need to learn in this lifetime. I think, you know, we don't have the map when we get here, but we have all the things to navigate us through it. If we want to learn, if we want to open up, if we can release the fear and surrender spirit gives us all the tools to navigate. So, you know, I've been blessed to have those tools. And I did not recognize probably to the fullest extent till I probably was in my late 20s, early 30s.
Mm.
What I did know is I was an empath. I knew I was a healer and I knew I was a teacher. And above all, I knew I needed to help people. I just didn't know what that capacity was.
Mm.
So, you know, like everybody else, we go to school or we have like all these different jobs that we do and we try to figure things out. But, you know, little by little, I was being shown the path. And so, I think everybody gets that opportunity.
It kind of brings up another question, which I kind of, I don't know exactly where I sit with it, like karma, right? So yeah. Like, do we choose some of those difficult ways of being to release karma for, like, I don't know, I don't really totally get it.
You don't get karma, you mean, or?
Yeah, I think I have some conflict around what karma is, and or if it, you know, if it really does even play a role.
Yeah, you know how the most people say, you know, karma is a bitch, right? But really, karma is you having to learn a lesson, and so it's like anything else. Whatever you put out, you get back. It's the law of, you know, that's really the law of attraction. You put out good, you get back good. You put out not so good, you get back not so good, right? And I think people have karma left over sometimes from other lifetimes that they're working out. Maybe they couldn't finish it in that lifetime and they have to work it out in this lifetime.
That's the part I question.
So let's just say my father was in another lifetime, let's just say my father had no money and he was poor and he had no power connected to him. And in the next life, he wanted to know how to do that. Or in this life, let's just say in this life, he had all this power. He had all this money and he had all these things connected to him that were not what you would say good things to have connected to you, right? Mm-hmm. And now next life, he may have to humble himself to learn that lesson. Okay. He may have to humble himself and maybe live very meekly or live very, you know, just average or not have the power over people that he had in this life.
Yeah. And let's go a little bit further.
Yeah.
Because if everything has a purpose and a reason, by your father living how he lived, you could want to judge it many different ways, right? But what was the purpose of that? Like, some people have to play those roles to teach lessons outside of that. You know what I mean?
Every single one of them played a role for me to get to where I am today, right?
Okay.
Every single one. My mother had to learn how to stick up for herself. She wasn't able to do that in this life, but she was learning that lesson. My father had to also, because part of his lesson was, you know, there were people in his life that were not nice to him, made fun of him, things like that. He was dealing with a self-esteem problem, you know, and so that definitely played a part in how he went through the rest of his life, you know, and also being in the depression and coming out of that was huge for people because nobody had anything back then.
True.
Right. So, you know, everything looks so much greener when, you know, people put something in front of you that looks, you know, they put money in front of you or they put this power in front of you or they, you know, here, go to this place and you'll get this for free or go to that place and you'll, it's very superficial. There's nothing worth, in other words, for me, where I am today is 1,000 times more than unfortunately where my father had to be in his life because in his life, even if he wasn't in prison, he was in prison. Even if he wasn't behind bars, he was imprisoned in his own energy, in his own space, in his own life. He didn't go past a 4-block radius unless he was going to a doctor appointment. You know what I mean? Never went on vacation. So he didn't really live.
Hey, Rita, I was just realizing a lot of our audience may not know what the connection is with your father.
Yes.
We really spelled that out. So why don't you give them a little idea what you're talking about here?
Yes. So my father was very known in the day for being the boss of the Genovese crime family in Manhattan. And what they called really as well the bosses of all bosses, which was, you know, he was the top guy. So really nobody could go to him without making a decision about big things. You know, mm-hmm. he ran a corporation pretty much. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, he ran it the way he saw fit. There were some, you know, they had their own codes, their own things that they went by. Not necessarily what I would say was great, but then again, I look at the world today and I'm like, well, you know, there's a few things going on here that aren't very morally. And
tell me about it.
We won't get into, you know, all of that because I don't want to, you know, I'm not a politics person, but I know energy.
Sure.
You know, and I know what's going on, and I'm sad about it because it could have been avoided, and it wasn't. Just like my father might have been able to do a few things differently, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And you know, they just did it a certain way, and I could not live that way. I had to live up to my own values, morals, beliefs, and it served me. You know, it served me to do that.
Once again, though, from my perspective, we can all point to all the things. I think everybody has a pretty good idea of what's been going on
in
general in the world. And we can point to all that stuff. But I think, again, about what Abraham Hicks said. You know, it's setting us up for some really great stuff coming out of it. I've been calling this 2020 the year of clarity because I really think a whole bunch of clarity is going to come to a whole bunch of people. And I think we're in the midst of it right now.
Absolutely. I don't think you get that kind of, like I said, wow factor without having that kind of adversity connected to it.
Hmm.
You know, if you had that kind of wow factor, like on a daily basis, nobody would learn anything. You know what I mean? Like, come through shit to get to the good part.
Right.
And that's just how it goes, you know, like even growing up in my family, came through all of that to get to where I am today. I am completely blessed by that. So I could complain and bitch about it all I want, like how it was, but I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say it got me where I needed to get. Now let's move forward, you know?
Right. So one question, which kind of ties in but to like soul contracts. So say we have this experience where you have, let's make it really bad, a child who gets murdered by somebody.
Yes.
So, you know, they have a contract. There's something, there's some purpose for this, for both of those involved and maybe many people around through that experience, right? Which we judge as a really bad experience, but it feels a little strange. Like it wouldn't happen if there wasn't some kind of purpose for it. Like that soul, and I only know this from like a young child who died of a brainstem tumor. And I used to like hate God, think, how could you take this little girl? And then I remembered listening to all the people who spoke at her services about how much she taught them in her experience. So that made sense to me. And I knew she had a purpose. She came here to have a brainstem tumor at 5 and to die at 7.
Yeah. But what she left, legacy, you know, she left a legacy to help people and what she taught them. And that's huge. That's just, to me, remarkable that she took that on. And who better than a child to do that? Unfortunately, that's, you know, we all say like out of the mouths of babes, but it's so true because they're so innocent and they see things very differently than we see them, right? So that child willingly and gracefully did that to help those people. And that to me is a miracle.
Right.
That's
but then, so that we can understand, right? But when it comes to the kid being murdered, you know, we have a more of a difficulty, at least I do. I understand it, and yet I hate it.
Right. Well, because we're not at the consciousness yet where we don't need that anymore.
Okay.
You know, we're still at that place where we're oscillating between those dimensions. And, you know, the third dimension is a lower vibrational dimension, right? We walk on the earth, that is... But we're moving up now, but not everybody's there yet, right? Yeah. So we're still experiencing these other things that apparently we need to learn from. And unfortunately, it may be in our own backyard that we have to learn it, you know?
And so let's I know we're running out of time. I don't want to cut you off. What time
is it? We're going to go over time. I can tell. Don't worry about it.
Because so maybe I like to talk about, and you can really tap in far more than I can. What about this whole awakening and moving into the fifth dimension?
Yeah. So I think we're oscillating right now. There are people still very much in the third because they're feeling, okay? Then there are people in between that fourth dimension where things are a little bit, they're opening up, right? They're honing in on their psychic skills because we all have them. And I try to tell people this all the time. We all have abilities. It's what would you like to tap into, right? And then they go back and forth between three and four. And then there are those who are already in the fifth and they're leaving their bodies and they're experiencing other things. And the teachers that are being able to shift things with the earth plane that, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of, but they are doing it, right? So when Mother Earth clears, she clears one of many ways. She either does an earthquake, she does a tsunami, she does a, you know, whatever she has to do to clear the land, to clear the energy, right? That's what we're doing here. We're clearing old energies of the third dimension, of fear, of people being taken advantage of people being oppressed, of, you know, the where we can become equal with each other. And I'm not just saying equal black, white, yellow, this, that, races, but even equal male, female, and male counterparts. Because we have both of those in us, right? We balance that. We balance the world.
Yeah. Right? You know, when you were talking about whatever it was in the beginning, well, with the clearing out of the fear, head to toe goosebumps, even just by you saying that, it just resonates to be so true. And then what popped in my mind, because we're talking about these different dimensions, timeline shifts.
That's right.
Now, I know I've had these experiences, and even Walt, because I shared it with him, he's like, oh my God, I had that experience the other day, where it's like you jump reality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very disconcerting, too, the first couple times.
Yeah, like people say, oh my God, time's going so fast. Yeah, we're doing that, though. Time will start to slow down when you move into those other dimensions. Mm-hmm. Because what's important to you and what you find to be sacred in your energy becomes the focus, not the day-to-day running, not the doing, but the being becomes the focal point at that moment.
Yeah.
We've lost all of that because generation after generation, you know, once we had the Industrial Revolution, everything expanded so much so quickly, right? Which is, listen, it's not a bad thing. Inventions, fabulous. Certain medicines, fabulous. But we really lost sight of the deepest part of who we were, mm-hmm. who we are. And that spirit piece is so important that, people just don't recognize it. They just don't because they're so involved in so many other things around them.
Right.
So many.
And why now we're all being quarantined.
Yeah, right. It's the way we lose it, is it? I mean, because we always have it there. It's kind of along the lines of a one-year-old who puts his hands over his eyes and said, you can't see me. But the connection is still there. It's still going on, isn't it?
That's right. And we have to become more of childlike. At this point. We have to really do have to get into the energy of the child and see things from an enchanting point of view. You know, be able to take a box and play with it for 7 hours, making it 17 different things,
right. You know,
play in the sandbox. I mean, whatever it takes. You know, I remember being outside all the time. Now you worry about getting a tick from being outside. You know,
yeah.
I didn't have ticks when I was a kid. I don't know what happened. We're tick infested now. Yeah, like things that we used to be able to do, we people just don't do anymore. There's so much fear, and that's what we have to come away from.
Well, not so just,
you shouldn't be concerned. That's not it. But that should not stop you from walking into the woods or walking, you know, on a path or something like that because you think, oh my God, so many things could happen. That's always, you know, would be that something could happen.
Well, there's so much of this stuff going on right now that people are getting basically, whether they want it or not, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're getting all this law of attraction training because they keep focusing on all this stuff and it keeps coming into their lives. And they're saying, why is all this stuff coming into my lives? I mean, is there better training than that when you don't know what the concept is?
Exactly. People always, how come this repeats itself? This is like a pattern that repeats itself. I said, because you haven't looked at it yet. You haven't learned from it yet. Why don't we look at it so that you can learn from it, and then we can move forward with it,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people to think, oh, well, I'm in this place so I can, you know, everybody struggles. Everybody. It's what do you do with the struggle? You choose to either, you know, can make it better for yourself or worse for yourself. And that's another thing. People think they don't have choice. Well, that's, you have free will. You have choice in every second of the day to make it better if you wanted to.
It's true that we have a tendency to externalize, don't we? I mean, we forget about going inside and we keep saying, well, is this that's caused it or that caused it or that terrible experience caused it or was this person over here or that high being or everything else caused everything that it wasn't me. I wasn't doing it.
Right. Well, and sometimes it is from the outside, but again, how do you choose to deal with that? Even if it is affecting you and it's from the outside. There's the question.
That's a good question. Yeah.
So let's jump over to something a little bit different. We didn't touch upon mediumship. So how did that come to you? Like, how did you first start to realize that, you know, this was going on?
I honestly, sweetie, I only experienced it one time before my father died. And it happened to be years before my father died. I experienced it once, and I was like, wow, that's awesome, but never even thought that I would be doing it. And then my father passed, and that was the next time it happened to me. And that was, I believe, 2009? When did he pass?
Five,
2005. My God. So at that moment was when I got opened up to that. And then it just kind of progressively, the spirit moves. They know how to move with me. I can't move too fast. Otherwise, it gets to be too much for my energy. So it slowly opened. And then I'm still not 150% comfortable with it. But because I consider myself a healer, a teacher, and a psychic first. But it's getting easier. It's getting better for me, that piece. Yeah. And I do love talking to them. Because I talk to them like we're talking. Like I tell people all the time, they say to me, how do you do that? I just talk to them like we're talking. And then I say to them, just give me a sign so I know that we spoke, so I know that, you know. And they will. Every single time they will give you a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I encourage people all the time, yes, you can come to me, but no, they would prefer to speak to you, not me.
Right.
No?
Yeah.
Also, one of the items that was on your list was crossing over. And obviously, that's a big portion of the overall conversation that goes on today. People are dealing with that moment by moment, not just because of the pandemic. I mean, it's just part of the cycle of life. I mean, literally, you look at the numbers. I mean, literally, there are 100 million people who die every year and 100 million people who are born every year. So it's a constant, ongoing thing, not an unusual thing. So how's your exploration of crossing over informed you? And second, what's the biggest takeaway you've been able to take from exploring it?
So when I growing up as a child, I had tremendous fear about it. Because you can imagine with my father's lifestyle and everything else, everything was, you know, there was a lot of fear around that. Death and dying and everything. Because I think what happened was when they opened me up to the mediumship, I could see things from a different perspective. They've shown me things of the other side that made me understand what it is, how creative it could be, how you're never alone. Even though people say, you know, you come into this life alone, you leave alone. I don't subscribe to that. You're never alone. They make sure of that. And I think, though, just the unknown itself is what scares people.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's why people choose to go certain ways. Like I know there are people that just say, listen, I don't want to know what happens. I don't even want to know how I got here. Just give me a massive heart attack. I'm done. Kind of thing. You know, or people with Alzheimer's or dementia that say, listen, I got to kind of get my feet wet. I'll be able to be here lucid and then take me to the other side and show me something so I can get used to that feeling. Right. Mm-hmm. I think everybody needs to experience it the way they need to in their own way and in their own time. But, my biggest takeaway was that I'd have to say, there's so much there that, is so, incredibly beautiful and, you know, like colors and sounds and the ability to be able to create anything you would like, while you're there. And then the ability to be able to help people on earth as well. So I, you know, to me, that was like an incredible, knowing and takeaway from that, and that people, I don't think, you know, they don't understand. They wouldn't understand it because they haven't experienced it. But for someone who has experienced, anybody who has experienced somebody passing over or helping them to pass over, like in hospice, would probably understand some of the concepts I'm talking about. Because there are a lot of people you'll see, you know, they'll see people before they cross, and they'll be talking to them, you know, and that'll ease them. And that'll ease the person that is actually with them, helping them. So, there's so many things connected to that, that, you know, you can help people with. And I think, you know, the one question I get asked the most when I do the mediumship is, how are they? Mm. And every single energy says to me, better than you.
Good way of expressing it.
Right. Like it's funny, but that's, and they are funny. Like, I mean, I've had some great energies come through, funny energies, and they're just like, yeah, I'm better than you because you're still learning and dealing and, you know, having to, and I have to say, they want to make sure like they're not suffering. They're not this. And that's that old dogma of wherever you grew up and whatever religion you subscribe to, that's that old stuff.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And I don't, listen, this is me. I don't believe in a hell. I don't believe in the devil, quote unquote. Do I believe in lower vibrational energies? Yes. And do I believe you can create your own shit? Yes. But I don't subscribe to, you know, and I was raised Catholic, but now, of course, I subscribe to more of a spiritual. I only took certain things from that religion and the rest. And I don't even consider it part of a religion. You know, like when Mary came to me, she says, don't look at me in the religious portion. Mm. See me as a mother. See me as an energy. Don't see me as that.
Very
as
cool.
that. And I was extremely happy with that.
Yeah.
Because I can relate to that, and then others will be able to relate to that.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people.
Make it relatable. Otherwise, people, they don't want to know from it if they can't be relatable.
It makes sense. Yeah. By the way, Jeffrey has one last question, and he thought it might be for the next show because we're normally out of time, but I figure let's take a moment and answer it anyway. He wants you to talk a little bit about healing intergenerational trauma. He said he had a few questions, but he didn't type them all out. So maybe just kind of in general, what can you talk about on that general topic?
Well, I could speak to that a lot because all the healing that I've done in myself, I've seen family members heal through that.
Oh, okay.
My father healed certain things before he left here and continues to heal them as he works with me from the other side. Mm-hmm. I've seen my mother heal things before she left here. Now I'm seeing my sisters, you know, there's certain parts of them that are healing. And I think that there are some of us who take that on for the family and say, let me show you, let me plant the seeds and maybe you can learn from it. And maybe there'll be pieces of you that can heal. But again, it's free will. So I can plant all the seeds in the world. I can lead the horse to the water, but I can't make them drink and I can't make the seed germinate, right?
Right.
That has to be that individual. But I can tell you firsthand that I've seen my healing affect the rest of the family.
Which must be gratifying, I would think.
Oh my God. I had no idea that was even possible that, you know, I thought I was just no idea how it was going to have an effect on them the way it did, especially my parents. That just kind of took me away. So I hope that helps, Jeffrey.
Well, I think it probably does. I think it probably helps a lot of people, because that's one of those issues that I think a lot of people get haunted by. You know, there's always issues with various family members. Every family has some story like that. I mean, yours might be a little bit more on the extreme end, but everybody has a story like that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. There's a ton of people that can relate. Your father doesn't have to be the head of a boss of the crime family.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's the same shit. You know, it's just a different story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just more news coverage, you know.
No, I wanted to add to that too, because even just with people who are waking up to law of attraction and opening up in whatever sense they are, maybe even not going full blown into a lot of this other spiritual stuff, but it's energy, right? So I know I've seen my mother change completely. Yeah. And I didn't do anything to make it happen. Just as I changed my energy and I'm holding more light, you know, it can influence. We can't change anybody. But that energy does kind of, it's almost like it spills over, or if their soul is welcoming it, they're able to take it in and shift their vibration. So I've totally seen it where I know my mom, very Catholic, very locked into certain ways of being, and you couldn't even question God. You know, I did a video on that where she was on. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But then like I see her having the freedom now to question things.
Yes. Even that alone is huge for people.
Yeah.
Even that alone, because it doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you can, you know, connect it and feel love from it. Right? It doesn't really matter. So, but what we were talking about before, Linda, you know, whatever you do reverberates into the world, right? This is the same thing. You're holding the light for someone else. They're connecting to it. They choose then to take it. Or say, you know what, this doesn't work for me right now. I'm not ready.
Right, which speaks right to something you said early on. You just send that love out. It doesn't just stop. It just goes. Like, it'll go wherever. Even healing. You know this. You can send healing to, like sometimes I'll be walking down the street and I'll just send healing to people. They'll either take it or it'll bounce off them because they can't accept it and go to somebody else. I mean, it's never wasted.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'd seen it bounce off of people and go right to their dog.
I love it.
Because they're so connected, the animals, right? So telepathically, I'm hearing the dog go, thank you, that was great. You know, and that maybe they can give it to their to their people that they're living with, because they'll accept it from them and maybe not me, you know, what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah,
but dogs know who's good and who isn't.
Yeah,
you know,
they're the conduit in that case, which is perfect.
100%. Yeah.
By the way, Jeffrey responded to your reply about intergenerational healing by saying, yes, I love hearing that. That's me. So you resonated.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Jeffrey. This is awesome, guys. I love what you guys are doing. I would love to come back and speak again.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to take that as an opportunity to invite you back. So come on back. You know, just pick the date.
Anytime. You let me know. I'm on.
Well, Linda and I do the show together on Friday. I also do it. I do it 5 days a week. I do Monday through Friday, and Linda's my Friday co-host. You know, so come back. You know,
we love the good news. That's what I like. The good news.
Yeah, that's what we're all about. That's why we call it your daily dose of happy.
Rita, you can come on once a month if you like. You can come on every other week. But if you want to be here and chat with us, we'd love it.
Sure.
Excellent. Okay, and then, you know, let me know how I can get it out there to other people so that they can see it. I'll put it on my Facebook and like after this, we can put it out there or.
No, I'll send you some links and and we put all the links into each of the descriptions for each podcast. So
Cause you can either listen through a million apps for the podcast or you can watch it
on YouTube
and they're going to see, they're going to see whoever's speaking on on the video on YouTube.
Excellent.
Yeah, good stuff. And for somebody who wants to reach out and learn more about, you know, your book and other stuff that you have out there, how do they reach out to you?
Okay, so the book is The Godfather's Daughter, An Unlikely Story of Love, Healing, and Redemption. Okay. And you can get that on Amazon if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You can reach me, my Space of Grace Healing, at gmail.com. is the email. And then spaceofgracehealing.com is the website. And probably the quickest way is texting me, because I always have my phone with me. So the number is 201-805-3909.
All right. Beautiful. Good stuff.
Okay.
Well, Linda, you did a good thing. You brought on a real winner here. I mean, we may actually be adding a third co-host on the Friday shows. You never know.
Hey,
you never know. Yeah, because when Rita was here, I'm like, oh my God, you just have to come on to the show.
It really was awesome. You guys are fantastic.
I have to warn you though, if you do decide to come on more regularly, it's very, very addicting. Just have to give you that upfront warning.
Yeah. I can feel the pressure. I like it.
All right.
And I just wanted to say one thing before we go, because I think I heard Bobby in the background.
Yes, Bobby's in the background.
And she's working in hospitals, right? Helping.
She is working for a school now.
Oh, okay.
So she's, she was working in a surgical place. And then that was to last week. And then now she's going to be working for a school.
Okay. So I want to just send her some extra love and healing and stuff, because she's probably been exposed a lot. So
yes, she exposed. We had her tested. It's negative. We have about, I think Wednesday will be the day. It's been 2 weeks. So hopefully we'll be okay till then. And then then you go out again and then it's the same shit over again. You know what I mean? So
just keep the vibration high. You're going to be fine.
We have to tell everybody, all the medical staff, for what they're doing. It's incredible. My wife she's an incredible healer on top of being a nurse. And, you don't have enough love for them. It's just like unbelievable, you know?
Yeah. So I wanted to add too, because I know Bobby does this kind of work as well. She can hop in on the show with us too. You know, we're open.
Sure. Excellent. You hear that?
And you guys can be on together.
She's in, she says.
Okay. All right. Good. Very good.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Rita. We really, really appreciate it. And it's been lovely. It's been wonderful having you. I love your down-to-earth way of expressing things. Of course, you're a New Yorker, so that makes sense to me. I grew up in upstate New York, so I get it totally. You know,
I'm sending virtual hugs to everybody.
Love it. Love it. All right. So thank you so much. Thank you, live streamers. We appreciate you. And especially thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.